Ladies and gentlemen, step right up. Let's go see the elephant. We're on a roll on a
back in, we're going to see who gets out, but I hope you folks don't get out and leave us behind, because you are now listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show, coming to you live as we can be, once again on FM 105.5 and AM 660 The Answer, and perhaps on your smart device if you've downloaded the free WORL-FM-AM app into that there mobile device thing. All right, I am Christopher Hart, along with the chairman of the board, who's on the eve of a journey back to the hometown area. We're going to be hanging out with the homeboys for a while.
We're going to back to Penn State every year. They do a golf tournament for their former players. Many of them played in the NFL.
Yeah.
And it's obviously a nice fundraiser, so it's not a free ride. But it's a lot of fun. I mean, Penn State's right, you know, the absolute middle of Pennsylvania. It's right between Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. So if you drove halfway, you run into Penn State. And, it, you know, they call it Heavenly Valley. And the reason is during the football season, you know, the clouds just roll right through the stadium. I mean, the place is just beautiful.
Right?
You
like
could not find a more classic college than that. I mean, just a fabulous place. So,
like,
looking forward to it. 3 days up there should be fun.
All right, like you're literally in the clouds.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know?
All right, and we got Nick Lo Cicero on the bridge. The phone number is 407-774-8255. Please feel free to give us a call at any time. I must admit, I did not see this before we went on the air, but I just got this from Nostradamus. The Pulse terrorist's wife is missing. They can't find her.
Wait a second. How can she be missing if everybody's been investigating or looking for her? That's a great job. Another good job by our Secret Service, FBI, CIA, whoever, right?
All right. Please.
How can she be missing?
Keep an eye on that, Nostradamus, and keep us updated on that. We'll keep an eye on that, too, during the course of the show. We got a lot to talk about tonight. We also have a guest going to join us a little bit later in the show, David Wood. He is an author. He's written a number of books. He's also an evangelical Christian, by the way. He's an author who's written a number of books about Christianity, history, and Islam. And he was one of the evangelicals who was at Trump Towers yesterday for the big powwow with Moby Dick. And by the way, there's some interesting poll numbers. Speaking of Moby Dick, of course, that's my nickname for Donald J. Trump, because you got all these Ahabs all this time been trying to take him down, and yet he keeps swimming on. Well, wait till you hear about some of these polls in spite of what has been going on over the last few weeks.
But Chris, when you say that with the evangelicals, that's one of his ways in that White House, because I think he could take a humongous amount of votes from those individuals. And particularly, you know, it is so hard just because, you know, Hillary has zero character. And after today's speech, you know, you read Clinton Cash, the movie's coming out, that other movie's coming out.
Was there a speech today?
Or a discussion or talk, whatever. But I mean,
was there ever a speech today?
I was going to say, but
we're going to get to that here in just a minute, and then we'll talk a little bit about Hillary's response and some other things as well. Marco Rubio, as I mentioned at the top of the show, and we've been hinting this would happen. As a matter of fact, Brian Blair said it was going to happen, and this week, and the deadline was Friday. Right. He had to move by Friday if he was going to get back in the Senate race. race. And he did. Marco Rubio is now back in the Senate race. And it's going to be interesting to see which of the other dozen or so candidates that were running for the Republican nomination. I mean, the Florida Senate race was looking like the Republican presidential right. race. We had so many candidates and it couldn't keep up with it. It's going to be interesting to see how many of them stick it out. Carlos Baruff has got the pockets to stick it out. A couple of the others, Ron DeSantis may have right. some support to stick it out. But I believe the lieutenant governor's out because he and Marco Rubio are friends.
Right.
And I believe a number of the other candidates are going to get out as well now that Marco Rubio is back in.
Now, I wonder if you can get him to pay you for all the money you spent to get up to this point, and then he says he's coming in. You know, in other words, okay, like that Baruff guy, all those TV ads. Would you just drop out, or I'd say, hey, you know, I'm in. You know, I've spent a lot of money, and you're late to the show. So,
well, he, you know, he's may try to take a chapter out of Trump's book and take Rubio down in his yeah. own home state. It's going to be a large task. But it's. I mean, Rubio does have to play some catch up because he's been sitting on the sidelines for a while. But at least it juiced up that race.
Yeah.
Not that it wasn't already going to be interesting, but now it's even more so. And if he does get the nomination again, of course, he would have to be, I believe, the favorite. To keep that seat in the fall.
I mean, you know, Chris, when you think about him, I mean, the guy is extremely articulate. He knows the Republican principles. You know, he is certainly an attractive guy.
Oh, yeah.
He has all the right ingredients. Unfortunately, he got pounded. But, you know, I think he would do a good job, even when he runs for office, in essence, helping Trump. Even if he just explains the principles of the party and converts to these younger people, I think he'd be a huge asset for Trump.
And he gets to, he would, if, assuming he wins, he,
right.
would,
hey, gets,
he would be
yeah.
able to mature
4 years from now,
mature a little
here we
bit
go
more.
Again.
Yeah, in 4 or 8 years.
Little Marco becomes Big Marco.
Give it another
yeah.
run. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. All right. Probably the biggest news in the campaign, at least today, was Trump's speech, where this was the speech that he was going to give last week prior to the terrorist act here in Orlando, which he decided to put it off. And it was an excellent speech. It was written excellently. I mean, the attacks just kept coming.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of your response, I think, in the other studio before the show, I think, kind of summed it up, right?
Yeah, no, I realistically, most of the information given out in that speech had been conveyed to our audience over the last 2-3 weeks. And, you know,
well, even longer than that.
I know. I mean, I'm just saying, like, and Clinton Cash, we've covered most of the examples he put forth, which are devastating examples if you're listening, because it just shows what this woman is made of and what she will do for money. And that's the wrong type of leader.
And he came up with a couple of others that we had not talked about, I hadn't heard about, where Bill Clinton got, of course, these huge paychecks from China so that the State Department would lay off of a firm
Chris,
in China.
That one to me was shocking because of the yeah. money. I think it was $750,000 for a speech, and then they get this contract. I mean, is that not selling influence at the greatest?
Was that the one where they got the contract, or was that the one where the State Department left them alone?
There were so many, you get confused.
But the thing about the speech was that it was methodical,
mm-hmm.
and he laid them all out.
Right, and simple.
And in straightforward
right.
terms, he hit the emails, he hit the foundation, he hit all the bases. Let's put it this way. And I hope this speech becomes a big part of his stump speech, and that he just hammers these issues again, over and over
again.
Yeah,
if he just does it and does it and does it.
And his the way he framed the Benghazi thing.
Very good.
He said, and all it was the
facts. 3:00 in the morning?
He set it up. He,
mm-hmm.
he said, first of all, he took it right from the start. She's the one who pushed the war in Libya.
Right.
And in fact, she is. We've talked about this on the show before. Barack Obama didn't really want to do it. But it was the three stoogeets. It was Hillary Rotten Clinton. It was Cheryl Mills and Susan Rice.
Right.
Who pushed that policy in Libya,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And then she was behind whatever was going on in Benghazi, the gun running or whatever
right.
was going on with Chris Stevens.
Mm-hmm.
She was right behind it all, right? And yet, not really paying enough attention to it to protect her man. So he said, first she creates the mess in Libya, right? Then she sticks in the ambassador in a dangerous situation, does not give him the protection when he's begging for it, and then the night of the attack, you right. get the 3 o'clock
phone in the morning
call,
phone call,
and he mentioned the commercial. You know,
she was asleep.
Yeah, and then she slept while he was killed. Not just that she slept, but that she slept while he was killed.
And that would be your commander in chief.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And so it was a devastating speech.
Very methodical, as you said. And yeah. I mean, I think anybody could understand it very clearly where he's gone. And yeah. I think with all these, when we get deeper in this campaign, this Benghazi thing is not going away, honey.
Yeah.
It's coming right at you.
It indeed is. And as I said, the speech was devastating. It was well delivered. Once again, he's not as adept at using a teleprompter as the Clintons or Obama is. And it's only because they've been doing it all their darn lives, right?
Lifetime politicians.
Exactly. All they've ever done is read from a teleprompter, right? This is new to him. So, you know, I'll give him some space. But it was good enough. And in terms of the substance, it was all there. It was all there. And he also talked about how she her policies will just devastate the job market in this country.
Right.
And how she – he coined a new phrase. What was it? Money and politics become the best money.
Oh, yeah, that was funny.
I'll have to look that back up. But it was, once again, he turns these little phrases and words, and they're very powerful. And in fact, it is. I mean, this woman, while she worked at the State Department, they were making hundreds of millions of dollars
on the side.
Just think.
How can this be?
All you have to do is ask yourself this question. If this were any Republican, what would the situation with them be? Would they be the nominee of the party?
Would never have happened.
No, never happened. They would have been laughed out of the primary.
Yeah.
Right? Most likely
they'd probably been in jail. Chris,
I was going to say, most likely they'd be checking into some federal correctional institution with Dennis Hastert today, who, by the way, did and deserves to be there and will probably die there. And that might just be as well be.
Well, you know, because two of the terms he used for her were pretty straight. He called her a world class liar.
Yeah.
So she's not just a local one. And he also called her the most corrupt person ever to run for president. You got to be very proud of yourself, Hillary, that your perception is as such by many of your competitors, right?
Ugh. Well, he laid it on, and he laid it on thick, and she is. Let's just say, if she didn't know before exactly the extent of
what's
the attack,
coming, here's an outline for you, baby.
She knows now, right? Mm-hmm. And on top of that, Donald Trump may be getting some help from some perhaps unlikely sources that we will tell you about when we come back from the break. All right.
So,
we'll look into this once again. If this woman, Mateen's wife, is missing, what the deal is here? All right. So,
the Clinton Foundation, too. I laughed about that in Hillary's backside to speech. She talked about the Clinton Foundation, how she was offended, in essence, by Trump mocking the Clinton Foundation. Well, he wasn't mocking Hillary. He's pointing out all the money that you people have really extorted. And the reality of it was, I had to laugh about this. She said, well, he's taking advantage of poor people. And, they benefit poor. Hillary, you took hundreds of millions of dollars. These poor people aren't getting any of that. They got 10%. That's terrible. You're supposed to pay out 90%. You live like a king off the foundation.
Well,
you know, but he has people working on pantsuits for his companies, and they work for below wages, so she can take hundreds of millions. And
you're much too harsh, you see. Yeah. It takes a lot of work and money to give away that 10%.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta take the bread, and you got to break it up into crumbs, and then dole out the little crumbs,
and
that takes a lot of work, don't you know, right? And you have to get fat and happy in the process, and that's tough on a person.
And you know, Chris, whenever you look at any normal foundation, you would expect them to keep no more than 10%, not give out 10%. Anybody that does 10%, you know what the description of that foundation would be. Don't want to say it.
All right. We'll take a break. When we come back, we got more and tell you about who Donald Trump is fixing to get perhaps some powerful help from. All right? All right. We'll be right back.
Baby, you're the best.
Whoa.
Welcome back to the show, folks. You folks are the best audience in all of talk radio, and we really do appreciate it.
Don't you think that's too sexy a song, and then you bring up Hillary's name? No, I mean, in all seriousness, I mean, you get into that's a sort of a sexy, you know.
I didn't think we were done talking about Trump yet.
Oh,
see?
Okay, because I'm thinking, oh, my God, you play this beautiful song, and then you mention Hillary.
No, that's one of our odes to Donald Trump,
yeah.
See. After all of these past few weeks, if you look at the national polls, you will see that Trump has taken a hit. But you will also see that Hillary has
taken a nice
hit. Yeah, and in percentages bigger than Trump's, I believe, or at least on a par with.
That CNN poll, it was a substantial drop for Hillary and no drop for Trump.
Trump, exactly.
Right.
And if you look at the state-by-state polls, now we have this Quinnipiac poll that came out here for Florida, which shows her jumping to, I think it's a 9-point lead, 47 to 39, 8-point lead, I guess, 47 to 39
right.
Here in the state of Florida. But if you look at Ohio, Pennsylvania, he's right there, neck and neck. And there's a couple of polls that show him ahead in one of these states. So don't go a-fretting. And now that he is throwing down the gauntlet today with this speech,
right.
The locomotive, I believe, is back on the tracks. And it's coming barreling down the tracks, and the Clintons are tied to those tracks. And it's going to be hard for them to get away from all of this that he delivered today.
And imagine Rubio now just concentrating on the state of Florida, right?
Yep.
And he is going to pound away on Hillary, too, because it's his survival.
And Obama.
And Obama.
Yep.
So this is going to be, you know, I hate saying that word, a huge benefit to Trump.
I think so.
So I think he could be the converter, too, that we're looking for.
Yeah, you might actually see some reverse coattails
right.
here.
Right, that's exactly right.
Instead of Trump has the coattails to help the senatorial mm-hmm. candidate, perhaps the senatorial candidate's coattails will help Donald Trump. And I do believe that these men can work together. I do believe that they both understand the shall we call it, the give and take of politics,
right.
or as we call it around here, the professional wrestling nature of politics. You get in the ring, you beat the snot out of one another,
right.
but then you go behind the curtain, and you're good buddies, or you can be.
It
anyway,
wasn't the story.
You don't have to hate one another.
Trump has already been encouraging Rubio to run. So they got to have a conversation going. And, you know, they're going to have a game plan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Without a doubt.
I'm sure they do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure Trump will be down here doing fundraisers for Marco Rubio as well. And at the end of the day, you know, we tried to help Marco out. You were gone this day,
mm-hmm.
but we did a sort of a one of our callers actually came up with the idea, you know, sort of Macbeth-ish,
right.
Mm-hmm. That we should have a contest of what would be good jobs for Marco after he got out of the Senate.
That's cruel.
Hey, now we came up with some good ones, you know. We came up with bellhop. We came up with caddy at the Doral Country Club. We mm-hmm. came up with a bunch of them, and I guess he didn't like any of them. So
he probably figured he'd have to work harder in those jobs than if he went into the Senate, right?
All right. So hats off to Rubio. Trump is still definitely in the game. And this speech today, once again, I think really goosed his campaign, so to speak, and put some shiver me timbers, if you will, into the Clinton gang over there.
Oh, I think she has to be just, I mean, this one, I couldn't believe she made the statement about the foundation takes care of poor people and he should really lay off. Hillary. We're coming for you, baby.
Hey.
You know what you did with that money that should really go to the poor people? It's a crime in itself, but it's selling influence, Hillary.
Hey,
that's what you were doing.
If that's the truth,
mm-hmm.
open up the books.
That's right.
Let
I don't
us
understand.
See the books.
Why aren't the news people here, right at her door?
You know, it is a charitable foundation,
yeah,
which
it's
means
public records.
It's all public records.
Right.
Exactly.
Where is the news media?
Right, exactly. And if other mm-hmm. people were to have a mind to do so, they could take that foundation away from the Clintons.
And look what
wouldn't
they,
that be fun?
Yeah, but look what they did on Trump's $6 million fundraiser. The uproar about that for the veterans, right? For $6 million. How about Hillary's for hundreds and hundreds of million? Aren't you people interested? You people on the left?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't bother you at all?
Yeah.
Oh boy.
You know, if I were some of these groups, you know, that the Clintons supposedly represent, like Black Lives Matter and Code Pink and all these,
yeah.
I'd be going, hey, where's some of my millions?
Yeah, maybe you can help me out a little bit.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, you got hundreds of millions, and it's
how
all for
me?
The cause. You know, what do I got to do? Where do I sign the paper?
You're telling everybody's for the poor.
Yeah. Yeah, here we are, Ms. Clinton.
Well, you can pick your check up at the Ritz-Carlton. I'll be over there for dinner.
Yeah, that's right. By the way, Julian Assange and WikiLeaks are threatening to release the hacked emails that they have gotten from her private server. And the other fella, too. What was his name?
Our good friend, Guccifer.
Guccifer,
I like
right.
that name. He said he's coming.
He's picking the Goocer, too, right?
I know. And he said, it's coming soon. Now you got two guys. Now, what really happens?
Guccifer is going to goose her.
Well, you know, if they flip them out here in the next couple of weeks, do you just go lock her up, or do we got to go another 9 months to see if the actual emails that they said were not fake? Or, you know what I mean?
Let's just say...
then would be near.
The time between now and the Democrat convention, I believe, is going to be very interesting, because there are going to be some revelations coming out via these guys.
I can see Assange doing it, so I think it's coming for sure.
And I can see the FBI wrapping up their investigation with a question-answer session with Ms. Clinton, and then we begin the process of finding out. All right, Warren is on the line. We got to take a break, though. Warren, if you'll please stay with us, we'll pick you up on the other side. 407-774-8255 is the number. What'd you think of the Trump speech? Did you like it? Did you hate it? Did you think it was not enough? I thought it was pretty good. Pretty good. Pretty doggone good. All right, we'll be right back.
The good, bad, and the ugly?
There it is.
I love it.
It was all there today.
I know.
We saw
everything. I know. Now we got to name the characters. Who would be who?
Where you get nothing but the truth. So don't get stung. Listen to AM 660, The Answer.
Ooh, yeah.
All right. Yeah, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right. That is Michael McBath. I am Christopher Hart. And you are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show, coming to you live once again on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. The Rays are playing again tonight. They let one slip away last night. Hopefully they can pick up a win tonight. They're off tomorrow night, but the pregame show starts at 6:30. So please, if you haven't already, download that free WORL-FM-AM app into your mobile device so that you can listen to us regardless of what's going on with the Rays. And or you can go to our website at AmericanAdversaries.com and just hit the Listen Live button right there on the home page, and you'll hear whatever is live being broadcast live on AM660TheAnswer.com. All right, so you got a multitude of ways to continue to listen to us after 6:30 tonight. All right, Warren has been patiently waiting on the line. He wants to talk about the Trump speech today. So let's go right now to Warren. Thank you, sir, for calling.
Oh, yeah, that speech was that was awesome today.
You know, stem-wise, what do you call it, stem-winder? Isn't that the old expression? Or
a stump knocker.
Something like that, yeah.
Warren should know. He's back in a few years back. Warren,
back
a stump knocker,
right.
A Willy Wonker.
Well, what did you think was the best part of it? Did you have a favorite part?
No, just people are so concerned about his tone. He sounded very presidential.
Yeah, it was very even-handed the way he delivered it. The applause lines. I mean, he didn't raise his voice. He didn't, you know, start, you know, going off.
He didn't sound like he does when he's a rambling preacher, you know, with his hands outstretched.
Yeah, which, you know, he's going to continue to do that when he does these stump speeches. But what
he's been stumping for gosh knows how long. He's on just about every day now.
Oh, yeah. But what I'm saying is when he goes out and does these live rallies, these live stump speeches, I hope he incorporates a lot of today's speech into those.
Yeah,
you
want like
to talk about some
that, yeah.
Yeah, you want to talk about some thunderous applause lines when he goes through. If he would just memorize that part, the way he delivered it today about Benghazi, and just do that at every speech, I tell you what, everybody walks out of that place is going to be voting for Donald Trump, whether they came in going to or not.
Well, okay, I've got a couple of things here, and one, of course, coming off of the speech is that I'd say that the stench of corruption coming out from the Clintons is about as bad as a Calcutta sewer.
Oh, jeez. Okay, Warren.
Well, I've never been to Calcutta, but I can imagine it's probably not a very pleasant aroma.
But anyway, this is, involves a lot with a little, and everyone is so concerned about how he's able to not raise as much money as Hillary. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, about 10, 12 years ago, one of our local people, Doug Getzlow, who, you know, he's also got kind of a mixed emotions among people.
Yeah.
We were out on street corners, you know, the left turn pockets.
Sure.
With no to the tax increases.
Yes.
We were working on about a $30,000 in contributions, and people wanted to raise the Orange County sales tax. They had poured millions of dollars into getting it raised.
Yeah.
And
you guys defeated it on that.
We defeated it with $30,000.
Yeah, if you got the right message and the right messenger and a guy who knows how to use the media, you can go a long way on a whole lot less money. All this money I believe she's spending right now is being, I believe, wasted.
Right. Well, look at what Jeb did.
Yeah, exactly.
How much money he squandered in Iowa.
And all she's doing is more of the same.
Yeah.
And if it didn't work before, why does this idiot think it's going to work now? It's not.
One last thing. This TV advertising these huge amounts of dollars. I have a theory about, most people make up their minds within, maybe a month, 2 weeks of the elections.
Right.
Okay, and they pour money at this stuff, trying to woo their remaining people.
Right.
When I was teaching mathematics and or the calculus, I used to use an analogy.
All right.
Of the dustpan. The housewife.
Right.
I mean, sex steering, sorry.
Right.
Somebody sweeping up all the dirt on the floor.
Right.
And they bring it over to the dustpan, and they sweep it into the dustpan, and they say they get 60% of the dust in that first shot. Then they have to back the dustpan up, and maybe they get 60% of the remaining 60%.
Right.
But they never get it all.
Right. Yeah.
And that's what they're doing with their advertising, is that every time they do it, they're just getting a few more grains of dust.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting,
very expensive process. And thanks, Warren.
Warren, you taught calculus, right?
Yeah.
You know, did you see this the other day? This is amazing, but part of going to college, right? You got to at least know college algebra and hopefully calculus based upon the university. Oh, I just saw that Wayne State is dropping math as a requirement. And you know what they're adding? You could all guess it. It's going to be a tough one. Diversity courses in culture. Are you kidding me? Is that going to get these kids jobs?
No.
Is that disgusting? I couldn't even believe that when I heard that. I mean, you've got to be proficient in math if you're going to go ahead in most jobs. But you know what? You'll have to learn all the proper phrasing and political correctness instead.
All right. Well,
no, not good.
Mm. All right, Warren, I guess there goes your moonlighting job.
Yeah, Warren, you're out. No more tutoring.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Warren. We appreciate the call. Thanks for being out there. As we said, WikiLeaks, Julian Assange, and also the Guccifer guy are prepared to do some email dumps.
That's going to be just huge damage, though, if they do this in the next couple of weeks. And then Clinton Cash, I think, piles on in about, when's the convention, 2 weeks from now?
Three weeks from now.
Okay, and then that's
2 weeks, the 18th, I believe.
Yeah,
I'll double check.
It should be coming out
Monday.
Within 2 to 3 weeks.
Right.
So, that's going to do major damage to the Clinton. I mean, what are they going to do? Well, stop talking about our foundation. We do it for the poor. No, you do it for yourself.
Yeah. Well, I invite that conversation.
Yeah. Bring it on.
Norm is up next. Thank you for calling tonight, Norm. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing about Corey Lewandowski.
Okay. Let me just remind everyone, the just now fired campaign manager for Trump.
That's right. But here's the thing is that, he was very complimentary. Both of them were very complimentary, and they really left on good terms.
Yes.
Matter of, like, the highest terms you could have left on. Trump said he was a 10, that he did a 10 job, that he just needed to go in a different direction.
Yep.
And, but here's the thing. And also, Corey was very, very classy in his leaving that
he
job.
Was very, he was very appreciative and complimentary and still supports Trump.
And he did it with class, like we said. I just wanted to use that as a clarity word.
He did. He did. It was it was a rare thing to see, because you certainly wouldn't see that out of the other side.
Oh, and that'd be so bitter and nasty.
Out of most campaigns, right? Yeah. And go ahead.
Yeah, and see, so the reason that I, one of the main reasons that I support Trump is because of his loyalty to Corey. When Corey was accused of assault by that Michelle Field.
Yeah, he could have dumped him easily then.
Not only that, Kasich and Cruz said in the media that he should be fired.
Yeah.
And Trump said, you know what, I'm not going to ruin the guy's life.
Yeah, that's right.
He's got four kids. I'm not going to ruin his life.
Yeah.
I heard Corey tell that story just recently, before he got fired.
Yeah.
Or left the campaign, whatever.
Yeah.
Because to me, it wasn't really a firing.
Yeah, I think it was just sort of a parting of the ways, if you will. He had been hired 19 months ago for the purpose, and basically his contract, they didn't renew it, if you will.
But that story of him being loyal to Corey when the case was dropped, that before the case was dropped, that brings tears to my eyes, because that's real friendship to me, and that's real, and that's character and the heart of Donald Trump right there.
Well, yeah, and we've heard other examples of that. He's very loyal to his employees. He's very loyal to his friends, obviously to his family.
Would have to be. How would he have all these people work for him if he wasn't loyal and caring person?
Right, and he got it from the old man. He got it from following his old man around, because his old man was that way. The old man, his subcontractors loved the old man, and they respected him too, because he knew his business. He had been a contractor himself, a man who worked with his hands himself. I'm talking about Fred Sr.
How he did not. He did everything for a friend, and he did not want to ruin the guy's life, Corey's life.
Oh, yeah.
To me, speaks testament to who he is as a person.
All right. Well, we appreciate it. And, Norm, I couldn't put it better myself. It does say a whole lot about the man's character, and you don't see that kind of that's sort of rare today.
Well, when you see,
especially in business,
Chris, you know,
and when you mix business with politics, it's almost impossible to see that kind of world.
I mean, again, you think of all the people that have worked for him, you know, and how few have ever come up with any form of complaint, you know, be it race, whatever. Then you look at Hillary Clinton. There's another book coming out. And, I mean, these people just shred her apart.
Well, I believe Trump brought it up today in his speech.
Right.
Are you talking about the one by
the Secret Service agent who was, like, outside her door the whole time, and how she treated people and how she treated women?
He addresses the mental the stability of the woman, if you will.
And she does look to me like she's nuts, in all seriousness.
And her, you know, her mental attitude toward things. It's going to be very revealing.
And then the final reflection is his family again. As mundane as that sounds, look at the quality of these kids relative to most people running
around. And by the way,
except Chelsea did have a baby.
Yeah. Oh,
she's married to that guy. Wasn't he hedge fund guy, which Hillary hates. How does she talk to him?
Supposedly.
You know what they probably did? They probably set a trust up for their kid for about $20 million from the foundation.
Right. And one thing Trump didn't go into much detail today on was her relationship with Wall Street. All right? That, like I say, that is right
that
there.
That is a giant poison pill that's going to wipe her out. I would demand those speeches. You get those speeches, because you're going to see a rollover, and she'd be devastated by that.
You got a whole horde of Bernie Sanders fans out there who that's their one overriding issue.
Show me the money.
Show me those speeches. So tie her to Wall Street, and you can sort of start tying, like like you're tying a ribbon on a bow of a gift.
Chris, you wonder too, like Bill Clinton's speech for $750,000. Take her other speeches to other corporations. Why don't we have these speeches? Because this is an essential part, because I'm concerned about blackmail to the whole U.S. government. Well, she gets in as president, and all these countries know they rolled them, and they got them all set up like ducks now.
Yeah.
And now the victims are who?
Us.
You and me and the public.
All right. Speaking of victims, at the top of the hour, and then we got notified by Nostra Dennis, and indeed we looked into it. And we knew that the terrorist's Mateen's wife, his current wife, the one who helped him set this whole terrorist act up by driving him around and giving him support, and who also was adorned with a bunch of jewelry and given control of his bank account and his cash and stuff, right? That she had, quote unquote, gone into hiding, and evidently hiding from everyone. The government is not, there's no official announcement out that she is quote unquote missing, but they are admitting that she's in hiding. Now, I think the presumption originally was she was in hiding, but that the FBI knew where. And perhaps that the FBI had been the ones who put her into hiding and for no other reason than to keep her under surveillance. Evidently, that is not the case. Evidently, because she was not placed under any kind of custody, she was allowed to, shall we say, roam free. And now she's out there roaming free.
But they don't. No one knows where she is. You don't
evidently
think?
Not.
Do you think she'll be on my plane tomorrow to Philadelphia?
I don't know.
Oh, boy.
Likely as not, she's anywhere.
I can't turn her in if I see her.
And all I can say is they better find her, and they better find her downright quick. And
that's embarrassing.
It is embarrassing. And if they know where she is, they should tell people, look, just relax, we know where she is. But evidently they're playing coy with us. And like Loretta Lynch yesterday, you'd have a better chance of getting a portrait of Loretta Lynch to give you an answer than asking actually Loretta Lynch. You're not going to get an answer out of that woman. So if you have seen Ms. Mateen, please give the authorities a call and let them know where that young woman is.
So, Chris, if we can't even find her, now again, all these Syrians that they're dropping off in Orlando here recently, how are we ever going to find them? They can't even speak English. We don't have any addresses or anything else.
What, we're supposed to expect them to keep track of them, too?
Oh, they just register? They come by?
They can't keep track of one woman.
I mean, is this unbelievable? It's just beyond me.
Let's hope that the FBI is in more control than it appears to be.
Well, when I go to the airport tomorrow, I'm going to look for her.
But we'll keep an eye on this story. But keep your eye peeled, if you will, for Ms. Mateen. And you've seen the pictures in the paper and on TV. This story just gets more bizarre by the minute.
Wow.
All right, but we got a whole lot of more minutes to go after this short break. We will be back with more of the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show.
Money, money.
All right, that's another one of our little odes for Donald Trump. That when he would make an appearance on WWE.
Oh, I know.
Isn't
it great?
That would be
play
the song that,
yeah.
that they would play as he was making his entrance.
Remember the guy, the millionaire?
Oh, yeah.
Ted DiBiase.
Yeah.
Carried his money in a briefcase, hit people over the head with it.
Yes, sirree. You better believe it. Anything just like Hacksaw with a 2x4.
I know.
Anything to use as a weapon, right? And by the way, Hacksaw first started carrying that thing not to assault other wrestlers but to protect himself when he came and went from the ring from the audience.
Hey, Chris, I can tell you.
I'm not kidding.
We played in a stadium in Buffalo called the Old Rock Pile.
Yeah.
And this was really old. You were more scared running from the locker room onto the field than from the than playing. And an example, one game, our field goal kicker missed the field goal. We lost by a point, upset the bettors. We had 5,000 bottles thrown at us, of which probably 4,000 were full. And then we had to, you know, get the guy to his car, and then there was a vigilante party waiting for him at his home, beat him up, and sent him to the hospital.
Oh, that's,
welcome to Buffalo.
Welcome to Buffalo. That's right. That's right.
And I can understand Hacksaw doing that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, 407-774-8255 is the number. Last night we got a call from a fellow who had heard us give out a quote that we thought had come from Valerie Jarrett's yearbook at Stanford, and we checked into it some more, and it turns out that that was incorrect, and I want to clear that up. So if you heard that quote Monday night when we were talking with Abe, discount it. It sounded right, but evidently it was not, and we were going to take the suggestion of the fellow last night and post it around, but we wanted to make sure it was right, and it wasn't. So I want to clear that up, because we're not here to create confusion. We're here to clear it up. Unless, of course, you're a liberal out there, and then we are here to create confusion. So the thing about Valerie Jarrett and her yearbook the other day was incorrect, and I apologize. We had gotten it from source that we had gotten another good things before that we had double-checked. This time we didn't double-check it, and sure enough, it rose up and bit us. So I apologize for that, but we'll double down and make sure that doesn't happen again.
There's one question, though. How can you always, meaning, can the congressman always lie from the floor, though? Isn't that true?
Oh, yeah.
Well, right. That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Congressman can lie from the floor.
Yeah.
Somebody could have a written article that's given to them, and then you go, oh, you know what I mean? It's like, you listen to Hillary today. How many lies do you think were put into that?
Well,
speech?
See, that's what separates us, though, you see.
Yeah, and well, I mean, we're
why,
straight up, but
that's
I'm just
why
saying.
We're correcting it.
Yeah, we're straight up, but I'm just saying.
We won't correct the record on that. We won't want anything.
When I listen to these speeches,
there.
I cringe.
Yeah, anything I hate, it's being wrong.
That's right.
All right, so we want to correct that, and once again, we'll double down on that in the future. In the meantime, Marshall is on the line. Marshall, thank you
Trump
for calling.
Facts.
How you doing, gentlemen?
All right, Marshall.
I want to do an imitation for you. Now, you're going to have to guess who this is. No. Okay?
Go ahead.
All right.
Wah, 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 wah. Who do you think that is?
Hold on.
Wait. We'll give you a thought here. One second.
You got to be talking about Hillary, right?
No, I'm talking about the congressman on the House floor.
Oh, yeah. Sitting back on the floor. Yeah, we're going to get to that here in the next segment.
Yeah,
we might as well talk about it now. Yeah, if you hadn't heard the news, what Marshall is talking about is Nancy Pelosi and a bunch of other Democrats literally sat down on the floor of the House today, literally, to postpone any action in the House until they get their way. So that's why the wah, wah, wah.
So, over 100 of them, by the end of the day.
Was it that many?
Yeah, that many.
Last I heard, it was like, four dozen or something like that. So,
Rangel said it was the best day in his career.
Well, if I was Paul Ryan, I'd let him sit.
Yeah, I know. Don't give in. Don't give in.
Let him sit.
Let him sit. Because
and they'll
is.
Quit. They'll walk away after a while.
Well, even if they don't, it's beautiful political.
It is.
Theater.
It's beautiful.
Who are the ones sitting on the floor looking like the crybabies, literally throwing a temper tantrum? Right.
And they were. They were doing live to Facebook.
Just mm-hmm. like the terrorist, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, they all, come from the same cloth. No, I didn't mean that.
Now, Chris, you know who Graham Ledger is. I know you do. Because
yeah, I do.
Same, yeah, you know who I'm talking about.
OAN Network. He's great.
Yeah, now, he did a thing last night. And he's pretty factual. And he said since 2009 all the way to 2014, $9 million has been spent on arming the IRS department. With assault weapons and ammunition.
Well, not only that. As a matter of fact, I wanted to bring it up the other day. I was reading an article where they aren't the only ones.
No,
you name a
Social
federal
security too.
Social Security, the EPA.
Yep.
You name a federal agency, they are all being armed.
Yeah,
and it's troubling.
Remember the brown shirts, the comet?
Well, sure enough.
There they are.
There they are. Yes, sirree.
They always forget there's 1,500
guns,
too.
That's all right, guys. Yep. God bless you, man. You have a great day.
Thanks. You too. Thank
but
you.
But, Chris, they always forget the 1,500 guns that the Democrats put in circulation across the border of Mexico
you,
and everything.
You don't
right?
mean that Fast and Furious
Yeah, I mean, that's
again,
always forgot, too, when they get into their conversations.
Yeah, well, that's peanuts.
And these were bad guns,
yeah,
you know.
Unfortunately, yeah. And one of them ended up killing a federal agent, I believe.
Yeah. I would leave them sitting on the floor, though.
All right, we'll be
weeks.
Right back with more of the American Adversaries. Did you see where she is? We can't find her. She's been misplaced. Welcome back to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show, folks, or welcome to the show. Thank you for tuning in. In either case, we really appreciate you being out there. I am Christopher Hart, along with the chairman of the board, Mike McBath. We got Nick LoCicero on the bridge, you in the audience, and you can be a part of the show, too. All you have to do is call us at 407-774-8255. Yeah, it seems like we have a bit of a mystery brewing here,
Chris,
developing.
Imagine a conversation now. The CIA calls the FBI. Do you know where she is?
Yeah,
no, I don't know. Well, call the local policeman. You guys know where she is? No, I don't know where she is. Call the FBI. I don't know where she is. Where is she?
Evidently, Ms. Martine is in hiding so well, nobody knows where she's at.
It's
or
called
at least
hit the bricks.
If the government does know, they're not admitting. Perhaps Ms. Loretta Lynch has her in hiding so no one can talk to her.
She's showing her love.
Yeah, maybe she came down and picked her up and took her back
to show her some love, maybe at the White House.
No, yeah. Evidently, we've been told for, almost... since the event, since the terrorist act.
I just thought she was in custody and that wasn't even a debatable issue.
Well, I thought that she was in hiding, but that meant that the FBI at least knew where she was. Evidently, the reports that we're getting now, there is no indication that the FBI does know where she is, or perhaps they're just being very coy and not admitting it, hoping that no one is going to find her and try to do something to her. I know a good safe place they can put her, a federal jail cell. For helping orchestrate this here terrorist act, as far as I'm concerned, there's blood on that girl's hands every bit as there was on Omar's itself, right?
Yeah, but the attorney general doesn't like your style. She wants to show pure love.
Pure love, yeah. Well, that's pure. Oh, wait a minute. I better not say that.
I know.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to our guest. This man has been on the show before. It's been a while, though. He's an author. He's an evangelical Christian. He's an expert on Islam. And he was at the Trump Towers yesterday for the meeting. And he's going to be here in Orlando this coming Monday. And you can see him. We'll tell you how in just a minute. David Wood, thanks again for being on the American Adversary Show. We really appreciate it.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Oh, good.
Excellent. How about yourself?
Good, good.
Excellent. Well, first of all, how'd it go yesterday?
Well, it was pretty interesting. I'm generally not a fan of politicians, but wanted to hear what everyone had to say, and the reaction was pretty interesting. There were people there who support Donald Trump. There were people there who didn't necessarily support Donald Trump, but they're listening and sort of seeing, you know, they want to hear his positions fully unfold as things move on. And so it was just interesting that you had about a thousand different Christian leaders of various stripes there all together in a room and saying, hey, we need to pay attention to what's going on in the world and we need to be active in it.
David, one question is, though, how can, you know, the alternative is Hillary Clinton, right?
Oh,
so
yeah.
Let's say you didn't like what he had to say.
Mm-hmm.
As what are you going to do?
Yeah, well, this is...
it's a very valid question. What don't they like? I mean, where are you going?
Yeah, I think the I think the most interesting response to that, because a lot of people were saying that, a lot of it, because there was a panel and so on, and a lot of people were saying, hey, there were people who say, hey, I really like Donald Trump, and there were other people who say, I don't really like Donald Trump, but I like him a lot more than I like Hillary. And along those lines, one of the most interesting responses was from one of the panelists who said, by default, I will vote for Donald Trump just because I can't bear the thought of Hillary Clinton leading us. He said, but Donald Trump needs more than my vote. He needs me to go out and get more votes for him. And so that's what I'm here deciding what I do. How excited is he going to make people? And that's sort of the situation there. The situation was, yes, Hillary Clinton is very, very bad. And so it's people were there to find out more about Trump.
Was the Supreme Court issue brought up about the where we're going now with 8 and maybe 7 soon?
Yes.
Was it a big part of it, or just passively discussed?
You're definitely going to have a couple.
Right. I mean, that's so important.
Possibly up to 5, depending on how things go. So, yeah. And Trump addressed that. He said he definitely wants some pro-life people in there. So it gave people an idea of what he's thinking.
All right. David, I know he wasn't going to address this specifically yesterday, but I know part of your expertise has to do with Islam and the Islamic threat, the terrorist threat. Obviously, you know what happened here in Orlando. Were you any more enthused, if you will, after hearing him yesterday that he'll be able to effectively deal with that issue as well?
I was actually disturbed by the Christians who were there, at least the ones who were asking questions and so on, and that there was really no mention from them, right? People had chances to ask questions, and they were asking questions about all kinds of topics and policies, but it just wasn't, I don't know if that's because, you know, this is New Yorker or something like that, but people just weren't asking questions about jihad or terrorism. That was very surprising to me.
Yeah, it would be to me, too.
I mean, right after a terrorist attack, you'd assume that would be the first question on everyone's mind. And this was an all-day event, and it just wasn't an issue for people.
Well, you know, that brings up a concern of ours that we've talked about here on the show before, in that there seems to be a lot of Christian leaders who don't understand the threat here. Am I wrong?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I can speak to that from experience, and that's, you know, years ago, I basically got interested in Islam because my best friend in college was a Muslim, and he was trying to tell me that Islam is true. So I started reading the books, and was horrified at what I found. And so I would start talking about these things, and it's very different. If you talk about, you know, if you criticize atheism, people might call you stupid or something like this, but, you know, you don't get called racist and things like that. As soon as you start criticizing Islam, you get called bigot and hate monger and racist and Islamophobe, and you start getting death threats. And for lots of people, it's just, I don't want anything to do with that, right? I don't want to deal with that. I'd like to go, you know, people don't want to feel like they need to take a bath all the time. And that's what, if you start criticizing Islam, that's what you feel like, that the sorts of feedback. I mean, I get death threats all the time. I get called names pretty much all day long. And, you know, I can understand why people say, gosh, I don't want to deal with this. I'd rather go do something else where, I don't get this sort of feedback. And so it's really, I mean, organizations like CARE and other groups have done an outstanding job of making people just very reluctant not to want to deal with Islam in any way.
David, don't you think political correctness, though, has really been devastating when it comes to the discussion of Islam?
Oh, yes. And basically, CARE, you know, organizations like CARE, they look for weaknesses, right? And they recognize, hey, here's something we can use. And the United States has gone in a very politically correct direction. It's not just, you know, political correctness starts off as kind of a good idea. Don't say really nasty things about entire groups and so on. That starts off, but it gets taken to a ridiculous and absurd extreme. And CARE recognizes that and says, hey, you know, all you have to do nowadays is call someone racist, and they're going to run.
And the media is going to
pretend that Islam is a race, right? As if Islam is a race or something. We'll just label people racists, and that shuts lots of people up.
Excellent point. By the way, David Wood is going to be speaking at the Fellowship Church at 5145 Red Bug Road. That's right there by the fire station. And that's going to be Monday at 6:30, and it's free. It's being sponsored by Act for America, the Orlando chapter. And please come on out, and David will be there. He'll also have some of his books there for sale. And it'll be, I'm sure, a riveting talk that he's going to be giving. And there will be question and answer session as well. And so please take advantage of that Monday, 6:30 at Fellowship Church on Red Bug Road, right there by the fire station. David, you obviously know your way around, the Christian world, and you know your way around the Muslim world. And what you just said, I think, is pertinent. But what I worry is that a lot of Christian pastors and a lot of Christian leaders actually think that they can coexist and live peacefully side by side with Islam. You think that's part of the problem, too?
That's kind of how we do things. We're used to this, right? I mean, my landlord is a Hindu. When I ask my landlord a question about Hinduism, you know, I asked him a while back. I said, "What is Diwali?" I wanted to know what the holiday Diwali was, and we assume, hey, you know, he's telling me the truth, and I believe he was telling me the truth about Diwali. We assume that if you ask a Jew about Judaism or a Christian about Christianity or something, they're telling you the truth, at least what they believe. And so we assume that when we ask Muslims, hey, what do you believe, and they say Islam is a religion of peace, that's true about Islam, and we get bombarded by that, right? You get bombarded through the media that Islam is a religion of peace. Politicians, after every terrorist attack, they bombard you with the idea that Islam is a religion of peace. And so if you haven't studied it, if you haven't gone through the Quran, if you haven't gone through the Hadith, if you haven't gone through the Sirah, and you just you go based on what you're hearing, well, what you're hearing is, yeah, there are terrorist attacks, but those are, you know, those are extremists, and all religions have their extremists, and so it doesn't have anything to do with Islam. And it's very easy to just to believe that. Now, you'd expect that as the terrorist attacks keep rolling in, As he keeps saying, hey, I almost never see a terrorist attack committed in the name of anything other than Islam. Why is this? You would assume that people would sort of wise up and say, maybe I need to look into this and not just get my information from CNN or something like that, or from, you know, the president of the United States. Maybe I need to look into this for myself, but it's just rare.
It's a pretty sad day when you hear something the president says and you can't assume that it's true. You got to assume that it's false.
Yeah.
Hey, David, we got to take a break. I hope you'll stick with us on the other side. I got a couple more questions for you, but also, can you tell people where they can visit you on Facebook or your website or whatever?
The easiest place to find me is on YouTube. So if you just type in David Wood on YouTube, hundreds of videos will pop up.
All right. And they're all very educational, folks. You won't be able to stop watching them, I guarantee you. And I hope you don't stop listening, because we'll be right back after this short break. Welcome back to the show, folks. The American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show is the show. We are live, 407-774-8255, as we come to you on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. And please don't forget to take advantage of seeing and hearing David Wood speak at the Fellowship Church. Monday starts at 6:30. We'll give you a hall pass for that last half hour of our show. It'll be a good cause, good reason. David Wood, 6:30, Fellowship Church, Red Bug Road, right there at the fire station. That's 5145 Red Bug Road, 6:30, and it's being sponsored by the Orlando chapter of Act for America. And Mike McBath has the next question for David.
Oh, David, I want to ask you a question, too. Is, you know, among the women voters in the Democratic Party, do you think they have any concept of the ramifications of Sharia law?
I think they're pretty they're pretty clueless, and that's, you know, that's just what happens with years of indoctrination.
You just wonder how they can just go on and just pull the lever for a Democrat when you understand what's being taking place and what they're trying to do to you.
Yeah, and that's why, I mean, it's really a sham with I mean, the Democratic Party and liberals, leftists, feminists especially. If you really took what you're saying seriously, your greatest concern in this world should be the spread of Islam. And it's not just that they don't speak about it, it's that they'll all defend it in a heartbeat. They'll defend Islam in a heartbeat. And there have been multiple studies by various organizations, various human rights organizations, and so on. And the two that I've read, one of them said that they basically laid down their criteria based on, you know, is there a preference for boy babies rather than girl babies? Do, you know, women have legal rights against abuse from their husbands and so on? You know, how young are girls married off by their families? They basically looked at these various criteria. And one of them found that 19 of the 20 worst countries in the world for women were Muslim-majority countries. And the other found that 11 of the 12 worst countries in the world to be a woman were Muslim-majority countries. And both of the odd country out in both of those studies happened to be countries with still large Muslim populations, just not majorities. And so, I mean, if you just look at that and you look and you think honor killings and you know, marrying off, you know, child brides and so on,
yep.
If you are at all concerned about women, about women's rights, you should look at that and say, we have to do something about this. If we're going to do anything else in our lifetimes, we need to do something about this. But not only will they not do anything about it, they will defend it. They will defend it and, hey, this is the way we all need to be.
Yeah. And same thing goes for the gay community, except perhaps now that they were specifically chosen as a target here in Orlando, perhaps they will wise up a little bit quicker. Do you have any hope, more hope for them, I should say?
I'm certainly hoping. I mean, some of the most ridiculous organizations in the world. I mean, there's a group called Queers for Palestine. It's a group of homosexuals who are rallying for Palestine. I mean, if they just went and took a poll of what Palestinians think about them, think about homosexuals,
right.
you'd expect them to rethink it. But I mean, just
maybe they never went to a meeting.
They're throwing gays off buildings and stuff over there, and over here, gays are saying, no, it's us and Muslims together against everyone else.
Yeah, David, are you going to be speaking about anything? Let's put it this way: what's going to be your topic Monday?
The topic is what everyone needs to know about Islam. So I'm not going to assume that people already know a lot about Islam. I know that there will be people there who know plenty about Islam, but I'm going to start from just the ground up. You know, what does the word Islam mean? What does the word Muslim mean? And sort of build up from there and then get to a lot of the issues like jihad and terrorism and so on. So basically it's for, you know, for people who have basically been shocked by recent events and have decided, hey, I really need to learn about this, but I don't know where to start. I'm going to give them a crash course.
You know, folks, I used to say you need to go to these meetings that Act for America puts on because terrorism is coming here. I used to say is coming here. Well, I got to change that now. You need to go to these meetings because terrorism is here. It has come here. It is here now. We need to be knowledgeable about what we are facing here, and you can get that way by hearing people like David Wood speak and buying his books and watching his videos on YouTube and being smart and being ready and being prepared. We can no longer say, you know, that can happen somewhere else. It's happened here. And it can happen again. Don't think this because lightning can strike twice. There's no question about that. And once again, David will be speaking, and it's free at the Fellowship Church on Monday at 6:30. That's at 5145 Red Bug Road. It's right there by the fire station. Really easy to find, and head on over there. And as David said, this is going to be more geared to people who aren't too familiar with Islam. But I'm sure if you are familiar with it and have some questions, David will be able to answer those as well. And David, you mentioned that you were going to give the definition of Islam and Muslim. Islam means submit, right?
Yeah. So Islam just means submission, which in its theological context is submission to Allah. And Muslims will actually use that in their preaching. They'll say, "Hey, you know, you don't you believe in submitting to God?" And you say, "Yes, of course I believe in submitting to God." And they say, "Well, then Islam is the religion for you, because it's the religion of submission to God." But Islam isn't just a message saying that you must submit to God. I mean, if it were, then Christians and Jews and everyone would agree with them. It's a message about how you submit to Allah, right? So
right.
It's not just you need to submit to God.
Yeah.
It's here's like, how you submit
it's,
to God.
The devil's
and
always in the
deep. It gives you a list of requirements and things you have to do to submit to God.
Yeah. The devil's in the details. I just have a few seconds left with you. What does Muslim mean? What does that word mean?
Muslim is means one who submits. So Islam is the religion or the ideology.
The submitting.
And Muslim is the person. It's one who submits.
All right. Thank you so much, David Wood, and promise to have you back on the show much sooner than we won't let as much time lapse in between visits with you. How about that?
All right, guys.
All right.
Thanks
thank
a lot,
you so
man.
Much.
Appreciate
and,
it.
And once again, he's going to be speaking free at the Fellowship Church Monday at 6:30. That's at 5145 Red Bug Road, right there by the fire station. You got a hall pass. You can miss the last half hour of our show because this man is very knowledgeable. Please. So
it may be some bad men, but they're great guys.
All right. Welcome back to the show, folks, and thank you so much for being with us. If you're listening now, you're listening on your mobile device or perhaps your computer, and if you're at our website, AmericanAdversaries.com, now that you've hit the Listen Live button, please browse around and see what you see. If you see something you like, let us know. If you see something you don't like, let us know. All right, I'm Christopher Hart, along with Mike McBath. We're still here. We're live until 7 o'clock, and wherever you're listening now, you can also listen there to Larry Elder when he comes on at 7. I'm sure he's going to have some very interesting remarks about today's Trump speech.
Oh, I guarantee you that. And I mean, Chris, you know, like we talked about at the very beginning of the show, we had given out a lot of the facts that were distributed in the speech. I had the laugh listening to Trump going, well, look at this. Look, you know, we've gone through that way ahead of the speech before it was even organized.
Sometimes I wonder if they don't.
Maybe they're listening.
Yeah.
Maybe from 6:30 to 7 they're listening. I don't know.
Who knows? But nonetheless.
But when he went through all those countries and everything, of which our good sweetheart Hillary took all that money from, who were people who beat up on gays and beat up on women, and she took, you know, tens of millions. We went through that for many, many times when we named the countries, the amounts, and everything.
But what he did was he put it all as a smorgasbord on one table.
Yeah, which is
right?
good. I think he's going to, again, I want to, his vice president, I'm just thinking that I want somebody to really even cut the knife sharper.
I heard somebody, I know you're a Christie guy.
Yeah,
I heard somebody else
so
say that
prosecutorial.
Last night. And for the same reason. For the same reason
he
they
just
said
can
that.
Rip her better.
It actually might have been Hugh Hewitt who said that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he said it should be either Christie or Tom Cotton, Senator Tom Cotton, because they both are very good.
Cotton's good. I like Cotton because of what he stands for and the fact that he was a military guy and everything.
He could really
do a job on her.
Right. So, Trump still promises to keep that under wraps until the convention. And so we still, our contest is still an open contest for that. And by
that's
the
right.
way,
how many do we have in 23?
About two dozen. Okay, yeah. 24. And what we mean by that is two dozen entries into who will be Trump's running mate. And it's a draft type thing.
Did anybody put Bernie Sanders down?
Not yet.
he might be crossing after the convention, right?
Who knows? You know, he actually showed up at a Republican luncheon yesterday.
Did he really?
Yeah, he did.
They probably cheered. Hey, Bernie, thanks for stopping by, buddy.
He thought he was going to a Democrat one, but it was a Republican one. They should have said, come on in, Bernie.
Yeah, come on down.
Yeah,
you know, we got some money for you.
Yeah. But
I think she's really like ignoring him or something. It's really weird. Like he just disappeared from the news, though. You know,
he's
just gone.
Well, because he's not ending his campaign.
That's what I mean. It's so just like funny. She, you know, it's you.
He is still a thorn in her side.
Right.
There's no question about it. All right, looks like we got Grant Malloy on the line with
us
right
now. That's
a great
politician, right?
Yeah. Speaking of great politicians, Grant,
and musician. Forget even the politician.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, how you doing?
You gotta be careful of that word politician, right? I'm sure you've heard the joke. It comes from the Greek word poly, meaning many, and ticks, meaning blood-sucking insects.
Oh, that's a good definition.
All right, we'll hold off on
okay, he's not
that.
A politician. He's a musician.
I like to call myself a statesman.
Right. That sounds real good.
Go ahead.
I'm going to say I'm the only campaign in this race that has not hired political consultants to tell me what to say. That guy out here knocking on doors right now is getting a good response over here in Maitland.
Oh, that's excellent. Excellent. And by the way, folks, Grant is running for the Seminole County Clerk of Courts, who is also the comptroller and controls the purse, the money strings, if you will, over
right.
in Seminole County. And Grant is a former Seminole County commissioner, so he does have county experience. He was a popular commissioner. He could have been reelected probably any number of times, but he term limited himself to 2 terms. And he refused to take the pension that he would have been entitled to take for serving those 2 terms.
Is that
terms.
Not your type of guy, Chris?
That's what
I mean,
call
if
integrity.
We had many people like Grant, this country would be in so much better shape.
That's why you
I'm
folks...
I'm glad you bring that up, because a lot of people wouldn't even know that.
Which is why you folks who live in Seminole County, please support Grant Malloy.
Year.
Vote for him. Get your neighbors to vote for him. Help him out. Fundraising. He's got a fundraiser coming up Saturday. Grant, give us some details on that.
Yes, wanted to put a plug in for that. It's going to be Saturday. I haven't had a fundraiser yet. I've had a couple, you know, events where you come out and meet and greet, but it's only $10 a person or $20 a family. We're having live music. It's going to be in Lake Mary, noon to 2 on Saturday. It's at 235 Claremont Road, Lake Mary. But if you want details, you can check out my Facebook page, Grant Malloy Campaign, or you can call me 407-928-2397, or check out my webpage, grantmalloy.com. But just want to invite you out, and you know, if you want to bring a friend, we're gonna have good food, we got some face painting, live music, and we'll have yard signs. There's people don't realize it's only 1 month until the mail ballots go out, and in Seminole County there's over 50,000 mail ballots going to go out in just about 4 or 5 weeks. So the campaign is right here. A lot of people don't know that there's a primary because they're focused on the presidential race. So we're just trying to let people know that, you know, I've clearly got the best background to protect our tax dollars and protect our court system and serve the public and be the checks and balances that we need in local government.
Grant, I know that early, you know, the absentee ballots and stuff will go out soon, but when is the actual election day itself?
The actual election day is August 30th, but here's the deal. By the time that comes, over half the people have voted. Early voting will be August 20th through 27th, and that will occur in all the local libraries in Seminole County and also at the Supervisor Elections Office in Sanford. So by the time you get to August 30th, most people have voted. But even at that point, when the voting's done, you only have about 20% turnout. So what I tell people is if you vote on the primary day, it's like you've got 5 votes because 4 other people didn't turn out and vote. So, you know, this and these local elections, you got school board, county commission, you got clerk of the court, tax collector. We'll see what happens with U.S. Senate here with Rubio, how many people are on the ballot there. But there's a lot of important issues here on this August ballot.
Indeed it is. And these local races that Grant is talking about, these are very important races. I mean, school board, that's a very important position to be filled in these days, right? As the curriculum issues and testing issues and bathroom issues. Whoever would have thought that would have been a school board thing, Grant?
Right. I hear you.
And so, once again, please help Grant out and any way that you can. If you're in Seminole County, you will not find a better person. And by the way, the current Seminole County Clerk of Courts, who has been in that job for a number of years, has endorsed Grant. And she's a no-nonsense woman.
That's great. That's you can't ask for more than that, right,
yeah.
Grant?
Yeah, Mary Morris has always been that independent person that you need in that clerk's office. You know, you want somebody that's not going to play games. You want somebody that's just going to be neutral, impartial, you know, watch the tax dollars, watch the court system. So that I would like to continue that legacy, as well as improve some of the, you know, the customer aspects of it, of, you know, easier ways to pay, improved websites. There's some things we could do to make it easier to serve the people. But I sure, yeah, if you, and if people can't make it out to the cookout Saturday, they can always make a contribution to my website, grantmalloy.com, GRANTMALOY.com. And, you know, anything would help out, $5, $10, $25. But already in this race, I've been outspent by each of the other guys about 5 or 6 to 1. But we were the first to get our petitions collected. And, you know, we do things smarter. Like when I turned in my petitions and I did get qualified for the ballot this week, we were able to do that, and we just spent $10, whereas the others spent 30 times that amount to do the same thing. Cause
we don't want them taking care of our money, Grant, if that's the case. You just won right there. Yeah, use that as your pitch. You know?
You're proving your chops in the campaign there. You said this is going to be a cookout on Saturday?
Yes, a cookout, hot dogs, hamburgers, live music, and I'm rumored to be playing my banjo on a couple songs.
I was going to say, you're going to be plucking the old five-stringer there.
Yep, I'm going to play the banjo on a couple, but a fellow named John Lofgren's really good on guitar, and he does a lot of covers of Eagles, that sort of thing, so it's going to be fun.
Oh, yeah, it should be a lot of fun. Once again, that's $10 a person or $20 for the family. Is that any
that's
limit
correct.
On the kids?
No
two hot dogs
limit, no.
per kid. Grant will be watching, you know. So,
What kind of reaction are you getting from people as you're out there, pounding the pavement, knocking on doors?
Very positive. Just the last house, two houses ago, the guy saw me coming down the street, and he goes, "Grant, you got my vote." And I didn't even have a chance to give him a flyer. I went to give him a flyer. He goes, "Nope, you don't." He goes, "Save that. Save your money. You got my vote. I'm excited. You're running."
Excellent.
I'm getting a lot of that out there. It seems to be going good. I'm cautiously optimistic, but I know I'm not backed by the political establishment, and they have a lot of money. So, you know, it's not going to be a cakewalk. So I still got to keep working hard and connecting to people, because I don't have the big good old boy network behind me, nor do I want it, you know.
Right.
No,
how many people are in your district, Grant?
It's countywide. So there are... tens and tens of thousands of voters to talk to. I think it's close to a couple hundred thousand.
Now, is this normally a primary, but are there any Democrats? In other words, can Democrats vote in for you?
As of today, it's going to be a closed primary, according to the info I got from the supervisor of elections office.
Okay, so only at this point, Republicans can vote for you.
Right.
Now, when is the last day that people can change party or register to vote in the primary?
That's a good question. I'd have to double check that. I want to say it's like a month out. I think there's still time to do that.
Okay.
But I'd have to check with the supervisor's office.
All right. Once again, do whatever you can, please, ladies and gentlemen, to support Grant Malloy. You will not be sorry if you are a Seminole County resident. And just because of the ripple effect, we won't be sorry in Orange or the other counties as well, because Seminole County will be run fairly
and efficiently.
Set a good
example for the rest.
Exactly, right? Exactly. So, Grant, anything else you want to say? I know you want to get back to knocking on doors.
Yep, just thanks for putting a plug in there. Saturday, noon to 2 over in Lake Mary, grantmalloy.com or 407-928-2397. And love to chat with you. And just I'm having fun out here talking to people. It's been a real blast. And thank you for your support, and I won't let you down.
All right. I hope you run into a listener or two while you're out there.
I have several of them over knocking. You'd be surprised how many people say, "I heard you on 660, those guys, American Adversaries."
The radio people.
Yeah.
Those guys.
The radio people.
Well, I hope they don't slam the door in your face.
No, it's been positive.
Very good. Very good. All right.
Okay. Have a great night.
All right. Keep up the good work, Grant. God bless you. All right, once again, I cannot stress enough.
I will
not find a man of better integrity. I would trust my life. I would trust anything.
It's refreshing to see somebody like this run for office, that we know the history of him, what he's done, what he's turned down, and what he'll do for the tax holder.
That's right. So please, if you're a Republican, vote for Grant. If you're not registered or registered in another party, at least for this, you can always switch back. I mean, there's no limit on the number of times that you can switch. Just ask Donald Trump. But Grant Malloy, he's the guy. And
why would you even stay in the other party if you just vote for the best man?
Well, that's,
in other words, I want the guy that saves me the most money. I don't care what party he's in.
Yeah.
I mean, so I'm voting for Grant Malloy.
What is a label, right?
Yeah. It doesn't make any sense. Well, go vote for him.
All right. And even if you are not inclined to do that, you can still help the man out financially or, you know, getting your Republican friends to vote for Grant Malloy. Once again, you will not be sorry. You will also not be sorry if you join the American Adversaries Army. And you can do that by going to our website, or you may already be there. That's AmericanAdversaries.com. And the recruiting office, you will find us. You'll also see our mascot, Bandit, there.
Oh, yes, getting sir. Bigger and bigger.
He's a big old Great Dane. And
Wow, there's
God, that
Nick.
Sounded like Hillary.
I know, is that Hillary or is that a dog? Oh, it's the same thing.
Yo, Hillary nipping at our heels. Once again, that's our website, AmericanAdversaries.com. Okay. All right, so the fundraiser is Saturday, noon to 2, cookout, you know, music. It's going to be a lot of fun. You'll get a chance to talk to Grant. If you have any particular questions, I'm sure Grant can answer them. And that's at 235 Claremont Road. And you can find out more at his website, grantmalloy.com. You spell Malloy with one L, grantmalloy.com. And then Monday, that's Saturday, Monday at the Fellowship Church on Redbug Road at 6:30, David Wood will be speaking about Islam, what is Islam, what Americans need to know about Islam. And that, once again, is free. And that will be at 6:30 at 5145 Redbug Road, the Fellowship Church. By the way, the fundraiser for Grant is $10 admission per person or $20 per family. And once again, please help him out. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, you know, there's a big vote that actually going to start here in just a few hours.
I know.
Across the pond, as it were. So we'll talk about that. So please stay with the American Adversaries.
Thoughts that flash in the calm that cast long shadows of doubt. No matter how far down you hide them, they just spill out. So I hold tight to the edge of the night, then I fight on and wait for the light.
That is the theme music for the movie 13 Hours, which is now out on DVD. I saw it last night in the store.
Yeah.
And
I've seen it on TV. You know, I mean, in the sense of pay for you.
Yeah, yeah. And please, if you haven't seen this movie, get a copy of it or watch it on pay-per-view, however, and do see it. It does give you a realistic feel of what those people went through in Benghazi as Hillary Clinton was getting her beauty rest.
That's a misnomer.
Oh,
Chris.
God.
Can't say that. That's,
and by the way, as we found out from Colonel McKnight last night, Chris Tonto Peranto, one of the brave contractors for the CIA who went in there and helped rescue some of those people, he's going to be coming to Daytona on August the 12th. It's a Friday at 5:30. We'll be giving you more information about that, but I'm just trying to give you a heads up to block that out on your calendar. They'll be showing the movie and talking about what it was like that night and the lead up to it. So once again, that will be coming up in August. All right. The Brits vote is starting here in just a few hours.
Yep.
Whether to stay in or get out of the Eurozone. The latest polls show momentum going towards staying in.
Right. They had a couple of these experts. I'd say if I had to draw a consensus, it's probably the 52-48. You know, that they're going to stay in.
Stay.
And the consequences of leaving, obviously you go into an unknown area, you got to renegotiate contracts, there's concern that their currency could drop 20% overnight, and, you know, if I were a stock market player, you probably would get a shock, but what the Bank of England is going to do is they're going to close the bank on Friday if they're leaving, because they're scared to death of, you know, some form of financial
calamity.
Ramification from this. So they're going to close the banks Friday, make it a holiday for banks, and then open up on Monday. Now, is that just deferring to disaster? I don't know. I mean, I'm going to be curious just to see how our market does, you know, once the announcement's made.
Right.
So, you know, we will see.
We'll see. And I think one of the reasons why some of the momentum seems to have shifted towards staying in is because David Cameron has, if you will, got some concessions from the European Union to sort of allow Britain to have a little bit more sovereignty. There was a movement in the European Union that they were trying to push more openness, more border openness, and
right.
Great Britain didn't want any part of that. So he has kind of been able to, you know, sort of finagle some concessions out of them, which might have taken a little bit of the sting of staying in out.
And it's always harder to get people to make change. You know, I mean, this would be a drastic change.
Especially if somebody comes along and says, we've corrected some of the bad part, right? Because they never adopted the euro.
Right, which is good.
Yeah, so there always has been some degree, plus they're an island, so there's always been some degree of separation. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the question was to separate fully again or not. And I think it's a mistake to stay in. In the short term, yes.
Short term, they'll get beat up a little bit. Long term, you're going to be much better off.
Yeah, I think that's it. You take a little bit of pain now for the long term betterment of the nation.
They actually run a trade deficit with Europe. That's not where they make their money. So I'm not sure, like you say, is it smart staying in? The other thing is their currency, the pound, is going to do better, I think, in the long run than. What else they're using because of the fact that you've got France is extremely weak and you got Spain's weak and you got them all weak. So something's going to happen.
Yeah. So, indeed.
You know,
well, we'll see.
It'll be interesting tomorrow.
I'm not sure if we'll have the results when we go on the air. It depends on how close it is. Of course, by then the polls over there will have been closed.
Right.
But if we have the results, of course, we'll give you whatever we know. But if we have the results, then we'll analyze where we go from there. But if it is a shocker and for some reason the polls are wrong or dated somehow, and the Brits do get out, where are you going to put your money?
Well, you know, I mean, I'd be looking at stocks like AstraZeneca or something. Stocks like, you know, that are great companies.
The British pharmaceutical.
You got it. Because the stocks are near the bottom now. They pay a great dividend. The company's doing fine, but you'll probably buy them about 25% less, you know, in the next couple of days.
So you would implement the when it's bad, it's good philosophy.
You got it. When it's bad, it's good, because I think the first shock could be, you know, the roughest shock, and then they start thinking again, and then I'm sure the EU will come up, and then they'll try to, you know, massage each other to get it as close as if they were in the EU,
right?
And then it'll bring itself back. So I'm going to be watching. You know, there's a couple I would like to jump in on, but you know, I want a bargain, a real bargain. So we will see. And then the other thing, though, I think has driven these people to vote no is this immigration policy, because I think that's the biggest issue of them all. I think the Brits are just tired and scared.
Yeah,
what's going to happen to all our benefits when it's tied into welfare for all these
people?
And you
see, that's one of the concessions that Cameron was able to get.
Was it numbers or?
Well, that he was able to limit, for instance, the welfare that these refugees can get.
Which is good.
Well, it is, but in a way, maybe not. Because, as I said, that's kind of taken the sting out of staying in the euro.
Right.
So it may keep them in the euro, which in the long run.
Right, in the long run will hurt them more.
Exactly.
Right. So they get waxed because of that.
These are concessions that got a little bit of what the people who wanted out wanted, but not all of what they wanted, right?
So it's just enough to keep you in.
And then once you stay in, of course, it can go back the other way, right? Here, now you get nailed with something new from the euro, right? So I don't know. If I was a Brit, I'd say get me the heck out of this thing, right?
Sort of start over again.
Yeah.
I don't think we need to go in this direction, particularly what's happening with the flow of migrants all across Europe, not to stop in the near future.
We are Brits, is what I would be saying, right? Yeah. We do these things.
Family.
Yeah, we still got a queen, for God's sake.
Yeah.
You know, this is all for the empire.
Oh, for the glory.
Yeah, you know? So we shall see. But that'll be interesting to follow up on that. All right. That's just about out of time here for tonight. But once again, if you have seen Ms. Mateen,
please let us know.
Yeah, maybe we should put out a reward on her,
know,
right?
Please let us know.
Get that old dog, the bounty hunter, out looking for her, right? And
I'll keep my eyes open tomorrow, Chris, when I go to the airport early. Maybe she'll be hiding out there.
You better. Just let's look for a woman with diamond rings on all her fingers, right? evidently Omar took good care of Ms. Mateen and it loaded her up with some stuff that would be very easily to turn new cash should she need some, right? Yeah. Diamonds?
Mm-hmm.
Evidently she is in such good hiding, even the authorities don't know where she is, or at least they are not admitting it.
That's just hard to fathom. Yeah,
but what's interesting, too, is the media doesn't seem to be interested
that
to
much.
Know.
Like, you know, I guess, I guess she is. Yeah. What do you mean? You know what she did?
As far as I'm concerned, she's a terrorist herself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because she knew what that guy was planning. She knows what jihad is. She knew what that SOB was up to. She was helping him set it up to do it. Now, she can tell us, well, I was hoping he wouldn't. That doesn't matter. Try telling that to the people who were killed and shot or have been living with dreams because they were there that night. I mean, this is ridiculous. They should have never let her out of their sight. If she is in hiding, it better be with FBI protection around her, waiting to arrest her. This ain't right. We'll follow up on this. We'll keep an eye on this as much as we can. That's going to do it for tonight, though. Mike, travel safe.
Okay, should be some fun. We'll be back next week, and looking forward to joining in.
Hey, bring us a little piece of turf.
Yeah, that's right. You know, get Joe's wife to sign it or something.
All right, that's it for tonight, folks. So, night, everybody.